Hello and welcome to Eisner Amper's podcast series, where we try to dig a little deeper on accounting and finance issues facing business professionals and their clients. I'm your host, Dave Plasko. With us today is Jason Lemberg, the principal at Pioneer Acquisitions based in White Plains, New York. Jason, welcome and thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
First off, Jason, tell us a little bit about Pioneer.
So Pioneer was formed in 2008 by myself and my business partner, James Peterson. We both worked at the same real estate private equity fund here in New York. We saw that time as a great opportunity, given the market being in flux, to go out on our own and target distressed assets. Okay. Typically, we were going after note purchases at the time, where we had the aim of getting the underlying asset, control of the underlying asset. Given our previous work experience, we were targeting primarily retail and mixed use. And unfortunately, the lenders that we were communicating with, trying to buy particular notes, they weren't willing to let those go. They were very well-located assets, and they weren't, I guess, in enough distress to let go. So we evolved, and the first few deals that we did were note purchases of multifamily properties that were in distress. In the Connecticut area, we did do a New York City deal. It was a defaulted note on a parking garage in Harlem. So those are the first deals that we did. When we targeted opportunities in Chicago, which is another target market of ours, we started out looking at similar types of deals, but we ended up acquiring some fractured condominium projects. Okay. And so really what happened is with our experience in that asset class, touching on multifamily, we started to favor the asset class over our background in retail. We liked the risk-adjusted returns. And so really, we from that point forward, just focused on multifamily and some mixed use.
Gotcha.
So that's where we are today. New York, Chicago, still our target markets, but Chicago predominantly is where our operation is, and we have over 2,000 units in the Chicagoland area.
Good, good. You say on your website that Pioneer's goal is to acquire well-located assets in urban neighborhoods currently experiencing rejuvenation. So I'm curious as to, what clues do you look for in a neighborhood that maybe is about to gentrify so that you're ahead of the curve?
So I wouldn't necessarily use the word gentrification because that can have some negative connotations. But we aren't targeting neighborhoods that are seeing an opening of trendy coffee shops or hipster bars. We're looking for solid working class, middle class neighborhoods that are well located in urban areas. Mm-hmm. Again, Chicago's a primary target, that are seeing a benefit of over gentrification of other neighborhoods, meaning that there's closer in neighborhoods in Chicago, for example, that have seen tremendous rent growth, that have really gentrified tremendously over the past, call it 5 to 10 years, and they've become unaffordable to the renters that were in those neighborhoods previously. So those renters are now being pushed to other neighborhoods that have solid amenities, like the neighborhoods we target, in terms of shopping, in terms of recreation, and definitely in terms of good transportation networks in and out of the city. Okay. For jobs. So we are seeing a lot of those renters looking for more affordable options, and we are targeting those neighborhoods that are seeing the benefit of that push out of the truly expensive neighborhoods.
Right, right. So you're not looking for the guys with the handlebar mustaches drinking Pabst,
right.
Blue Ribbon, the hipsters, and then you run right in.
Well, they love Pabst all over Chicago, but that's true.
Okay. And you mentioned that you have a strong real estate presence in Chicago. Why Chicago?
Why not?
Why not?
So Chicago, it's funny, it's been viewed as a flyover city for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think it's starting to lose
that. The second city.
The second city. I mean, it still is the third largest city in the country. Our selection of New York and Chicago as our primary markets stems from our previous work experience. So I was primarily focused on acquisitions in the New York area. My partner, James, was primarily focused on Chicago. This was for our previous employer. Mm-hmm. So clearly work experience was a driving force, but we're also both Midwesterners, born and raised, so we spent a lot of time in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We had family, lived in Chicago. So we are very intimately familiar with the market, with the players, mm-hmm. with how the city operates.
Sure.
But we really love Chicago because it's a deep market. It allows us to achieve solid risk-adjusted returns for our investors. It's historically been a slow and steady appreciating market with fewer booms and bust cycles as other cities. And given that our investor base is, their horizon, or investment horizon is very long-term in nature,
okay.
we see it as a good match.
Okay.
And so we have successfully built an operation locally in Chicago that's still growing, it's thriving, that's vertically integrated with property management, leasing, marketing. We've built all of that out, and we now own and manage over 2,000 units in Chicago. So we have the framework, we have mm-hmm. the foundation,
the infrastructure, yeah.
to continue to build scale. So we'll continue to do that for the foreseeable future as opportunities present themselves.
Okay, good. Curious, what's the difference between doing business in Chicago versus New York City?
I would say there are two primary differences. And the first would be the level of competition.
Okay.
So Chicago still is a very competitive market, but what it lacks is the scale and the depth of the foreign capital that's mm-hmm. being invested. It is starting to grow, yep. but certainly not to the degree of New York City. As well as the multi-generational wealth that's being invested in real estate in New York, that is willing to park money for a sub 3% return for generations, ultimately, if they'd like. And so while we do have a long investment horizon, we can't really compete with those buyers in New York. So Chicago provides us a little more of an opportunity to compete on an equal playing field, so to speak.
Okay.
The second key difference for multifamily investors is that Chicago does not have a rent control or rent stabilization program.
Okay.
So it's a truly free market, mm-hmm. Free rental market. We can execute our investment strategy, which is to buy vintage Class B, Class C apartment buildings mm-hmm. that are in need of aesthetic rehab. So we can update the units with new kitchens, new bathrooms, flooring, paint, what have you, and be able to charge the prevailing market rent for, commensurate with that level of upgrade. We can't replicate that in a city like New York. Mm-hmm. If we were to buy the same type of building, Class B, Class C, there would be some level of rent control or rent stabilization, and underwriting and executing on such a deal is a completely different animal
okay.
than what we're used to.
Interesting. Okay. Now, I was also reading on Pioneer's website that It correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like to some degree, your a sweet spot for you guys is millennials. You do a lot of off-campus housing. Yet we're hearing about college enrollments are down a little bit, and recent grads are staying home longer, or maybe venturing into real estate a little later in life. And I'm just curious as to how demographics like this factor into your real estate strategy.
Well, we have ventured into the student housing arena as of late. We did purchase two sizable portfolios from the University of Chicago over the last 2 years, in excess of 1,000 units across 30 buildings. Those buildings were restricted to graduate students and faculty, mm-hmm. But we really saw it as an opportunity to replicate our model on the north side of Chicago. So just so you're aware, University of Chicago is in the Hyde Park neighborhood, which mm-hmm. is on the south side. So we saw the opportunity to replicate the rehab of vintage era buildings. It's exactly what these buildings were the university was selling, off-campus housing.
Yep.
And we didn't necessarily see it as a student housing play
okay.
because the Hyde Park market is definitely, I'll use the word gentrification, it is gentrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thriving neighborhood very close to downtown where obviously there's a large student population. But there, in our view, is also a neighborhood appeal to and an affordable neighborhood that people may see as another option out of the more expensive core neighborhoods of Chicago.
Okay.
It also has a tremendous research center, tremendous research centers, mm-hmm. as well as major hospital and healthcare in the neighborhood. So we saw it as an opportunity to really rehab units and offer it to the free market, not necessarily only to students. That being said, we clearly will have, and we do have a lot of students, so we've learned how to cater
sure.
to that demographic, and it is definitely a demanding demographic. But what we love about the neighborhood is the fact that the university is the anchor, and
right.
we believe, as a lot of university towns or cities mm-hmm. or neighborhoods are protected from economic swings, we see that as very true in this neighborhood. In fact, I would say it probably is more insulated or better insulated than other lower tier universities in smaller markets, just because of the reputation of the University of Chicago. You know, it's a world-renowned university, one of the best in the world, as are its research centers. So we're comfortable that withstands economic swings. In terms of grads staying at home longer, maybe putting off their home purchases, I think that's definitely has been true. Although I think that for the foreseeable future, it's going to only be a benefit to the renter community, the size of the renter pool, because I think you are seeing a lot of those individuals moving out of their parents' homes mm-hmm. now that the market is improving.
Right.
So I also believe that home buying is still a difficult proposition. Mm-hmm. It's still hard to get a loan, you know, get a mortgage. It's a big endeavor. And so I think that that will still remain the case and that the renter pool will remain pretty substantial.
Yeah. On the plus side, it does seem like there's a movement of people to cities rather than the rural areas.
Absolutely. You know, I think Chicago, and you may read headlines that Chicago has lost some population, and I think generally that's true. However, what you're seeing is a shift of people who are in the outlying suburbs
yeah.
moving into the city.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're still comfortable with Chicago having strong fundamentals in terms of industry that's there, you know, major corporations. But what you have seen is those major corporations move from outside the city. McDonald's, for example, is moving into the city. Mm-hmm. And that's just one, you know, one example. There's plenty that have been moving downtown.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a growing pool of young millennial workers
yeah.
who want the city life, and I think that'll continue.
Location, location, location.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Check out part two of my discussion with Jason Lemberg of Pioneer Acquisition.